Today's learning is going to be the Bezuchos Refuah Shleima Adina, Miriam Bas Pircha Shoshana Bluma. She's having a surgery this morning. Bezuch Shara Chal Yisrael. And today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph. So we got to the last few lines of Lamed Amin Beis. The Mishnah begins. Today's a bit of a challenging Gemara. It's a Choshe Mishpat Halachas of lending money, borrowing money, liens. So it's a little bit tricky. But the Mishnah begins as follows. Nachi Shehilva Es Yisrael, a Nachi that lends money to Yid, Al-Chemso, and the Chametz is used as a mashkon. So the Chametz of Yisrael is in the possession of the guy, the bank, if you will. So Achar Pesach Mutter, Bahana. So that Chametz, even though it's owned by the Yid, but since it's in the possession of the Nachu, who's holding on to it as a mashkon, that's Mutter Bahana. The Gemara is going to explain why that is. And the reverse, says the Mishnah, the Yisrael Shehilves Nachu, Yisrael, who serves as the bank, lends money to the Nachu Al-Chemso, and the chametz of the Nachri is being used as the mashkon, as the collateral, as the security. That's in the possession of the Yisrael now. Achar Pesach, Asarbana, that will be Asarbana. Since the bank has possession of the chametz, so then that's going to be Asarbana. And we'll see why that is later on. Gemara says, Machlokes, as follows. Itmar, Baal Chov, Abai Amar Lubafreya Hugova, Virava Amar Mikanu Laba Hugova. The bank lends money, and they have a lien on some property, and the lender doesn't pay. So now the bank goes after the lien, goes after the property, goes after whatever the lien is on. So the machlokas, Abai and Rava, is whether or not we view when the bank collects on that property, is it l'mafreya retroactively, as if the bank always had a possession? Let's say, for example, they made the loan January 1st with a lien, and they default on the payment July 1st. So now the bank goes after the property. Do we say already from January 1st the bank owned the property when the time the Shas Halva? Or do we say, no, only July 1st when he wasn't able to pay the loan, at that point, Mikan Laba, is when the bank gets the property. So what's the nafkamina? So the Gemara again says, Abai Amar, Limafrehu Gova, he collects the ready from the beginning, from January 1st. The Rav Amar, Mikan Laba, only from July 1st when he defaulted on the payment. Hu Gova. So the Gemara explains, Kol Heicha De'akdich Lova, Vizavin Lova, whenever, if it's a situation of the Lova, the borrower, if he was Makdish's property, the property that has a lien on it, or he sold the property, Chuli Alma, everybody agrees, Lo Pligi, everybody says, no one argues, the Asi Malve, the Tarif, everybody agrees the bank can now go ahead and collect the property that Lova may have sold, because the bank had a lien already from January 1st. So in other words, if Lova sold the property, his Makdisha property, February 1st, and he ended up defaulting on the payment, the bank could go ahead and collect it, because the lien existed January 1st. So the Asi Malve, the Tarif, or Asim Alva Park, or he could go collect it from Hektish, as long as he's poed it from Hektish a little bit something. The Tanah, the Mishnah says, in most of Odinar, you can poe this in Nechasim. Even though technically, the bank has a lien January 1st, and the Hektish of the borrower should not take effect on February 1st, but you can never take anything from Hektish without giving anything, just giving something. So the Malva, the bank, gives like a couple bucks to the Hektish just to satisfy that concept, lest anybody think you could take things from Hektish without paying. But really, Mika didn't. Don't have to pay anything for the Hektish because the Hektish really had a lien from the Malva prior to it. So that's everybody agrees. If the Lova tries selling the property, if he tries being Makdish a property, the Malva could go ahead and collect it because the lien existed before him. When is there Machlokas? Keep Pligi two lines down on Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says Machlokas is the Zavin Malva, the Kaddish Malva. If the bank were to sell the property or the bank were to be Makdish a property prior to July 1st. Let's say on February 1st, the bank sold the property. The bank was makdish it. At that point, the Malva didn't know if he was going to get the property. Now, even though July 1st, the borrower defaulted on the payment, so retroactively, do we say it was always the bank's and it was a good sale? Or no, only Mikhail Lebo was a good sale, and the Malva never sold anything in the first place. So the Gemara says, that's the machlokas. Keep ligi, the Zavin Malva, the Kavdish Malva, when the bank sells the property, Abai Amar L'Mafreya Hugova. Since the bank collects retroactively, Kevin de Mati Zmane, since the time of July 1st comes, he doesn't pay, Velo Para, Igloi Milsa, the Mafreya, it's clear from the beginning already, the Meikara Bishusei Havikai, that it was always in the possession of the bank, ready from January 1st. Veshapri Akdish, Veshapri Zavin, it was a good Hektish, it was a good sale. However, according to Rava, Amar Mikanu L'Aba Hugova, no, only after the payments not paid from July 1st is when the bank has the right to collect the property. And Kaven de Ila Havalu Zuze, since if the borrower had money, Havim Masalik Lebe Zuze could have paid off the bank and avoided anything. Ishtakech de Hashe Kakani, turns out only now is the Malva own it. And therefore, when the Malva sold it in February 1st or in Makdish on February 1st, nothing took effect then, and it ends up undoing that sale, undoing the Hekdesh, and it's now the banks from July 1st moving forward. So that's a very important machlokas, Rav and Abaye, throughout Shas, whether a Malva collects on the Mashkon Lemafreya or Mikan Laba. Now, this is where it really gets tricky. Gemara says, Umi Amar Rava, Talchi, does Rava really say this, that Rava holds the din of Mikan Laba? We're going to prove from a complicated situation, complicated case, that Rava holds even lemafreya the malva collects. So what's the case here? So v'hamar Rami bar Chama Reuven shemachar sadeh l'Shimon b'achrayos. Okay. So what's going to happen here is instead of a case of, you know, there's really three parties here. There's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, but really the Gemara says really Reuven, Shimon, and Reuven. Reuven is playing two roles here. So we're going to say there's two relationships here. Even though it's two people, but there are really two transactions taking place between two people in the opposite direction. So that's what makes it trickier. Reuven sells to Shimon with achrayos, which means Reuven says, I'm selling you the property, and if someone takes the property because the bank had a lien on it, I'm taking achrayos to pay you back. I'll take the $1 million. So you paid me $1 million for the property, so you get the property, now you get my house, but if a bank takes the property from you because they have a previous lien, I'll make sure to cover you and pay you $1 million back. So that's first. So now Shimon has the property, and Reuven says, I'm taking responsibility, achrayos, if anyone takes the land from you because of a lien. Now, Reuven sells it for $1 million. Shimon says, I don't have the money to pay $1 million. The sale's a good sale, but I'll pay you back. We'll take out a mortgage. So Shimon takes out a mortgage. V'zakvin alav b'milva. So Shimon now owes Reuven $1 million because he's not paying the money, but they have a contract. So now Shimon owns the property with the achrayos from Reuven. But now Shimon, on the flip side, Shimon owes money to Reuven for the $1 million. So that's the situation. Everyone clear on that? So again, there's a sale from Reuven to Shimon, and now Shimon borrows money from Reuven. So it goes back and forth to each other. They could maybe neutralize each other. Now what happens is, the Gemara says, Meis Reuven, Reuven dies. The seller dies. So now the seller of the property dies. V'osa balchov de Reuven, v'tarfle mishimon. Now a bank that had a previous loan, probably the previous lien, on the property that was sold to Shimon, collects the property from Shimon because it had a lien prior. So now that bank comes along, the Balchov comes, and tries to take the property away from Shimon. Shimon says, no, don't worry about it. Asa Shimon, upaisi bezuze. So now Shimon says, don't take my property, here's $1 million. So Shimon gives $1 million to the bank is satisfied, bank leaves him alone, and now Shimon has his property. Everything sounds good, except for the fact, the Bnei Reuven. So Gemara says, Dina hu, it's according to Halacha, Da'asa Bnei Reuven, the children of Reuven, the Yosomim, could come along, Vamri Le'i L'Shimon, they could say to Shimon and claim, Anan Metaltle Shavak Avun Gavech. Our father left money by you, Metaltan. You owe $1 million to our father, they say. Because you have the law, he lent you $1 million. And Metaltle D'yasme L'balchov L'Bashabe. You cannot take $1 million, the Metaltan, that you owe our father, to pay off a lien of ours. You have no right to do so. So how can you take $1 million that you owe us? You paid him. You owe us money now. So now Shimon paid $1 million to the bank. They had no right doing so. Now the Yisomer is saying, you owe us $1 million. So now he needs to pay double, $2 million to deal with everything. And the Yisomer had every right to do so. Because the halacha is that any lien that their father had doesn't fall on Metaltan. Metaltan go to the Yisomer. You can't use it to pay off a Balchov. So now what happens on the flip side? So Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says, now this is why we need Rava. Shimon. If Shimon's an intelligent businessman, he could do the following. He could say, so now what happens is Yisomim are claiming $1 million that Shimon owes them. So, because they have the land, they inherited the loan from Reuven, and Reuven's owed $1 million from Shimon. So Shimon should do the following. Magbi le'ara. Magbi is the opposite of govim. Magbi is to pay. They should pay out. Shimon should pay ara, pay property to Yisomim. Yisomim are claiming $1 million. You owe us $1 million. Shimon says, I don't have $1 million, but I'll give you property worth $1 million. So he gives the property that Reuven sold him. Here's $1 million. It's your property. We'll call everything even. Now, after Shimon gives the $1 million property to Yisomim and satisfy the Yisomim, Hadar le gahadar gavi le minayu. Now, Shimon could collect the property back he just gave because the father Reuven had a chrayos. Remember, Reuven said in the initial deal, I'm going to sell you the property. If anybody ever collects it from you, from the Balchov, I'll make sure to pay it back now. So Shimon pays them the property to Yisomim, but now he says, my contract says that your father says he'll pay you back the property if anybody takes it back. So now he takes the property back from Yisomim. It's a very, it's very circular.
So he pays the property to Yisomim, and then he takes it back based on Echraios. Now, the reason why it's a little bit tricky here, because there's the same person back and forth. Had it been Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, it would have been clear. Meaning, had the Gemara brings a raya, Damar, Rav Nachman, Yisomim, Shigavu Karka Bechovas Avim, if Yisomim collect a lien that the father's owed money. So they take a property, because their father's owed money, they take a property instead of the money. A Baal Chov, another Baal Chov, could be Chozer Vigover Osamehem. Now, even though you cannot collect property from Yisomim, but if it's property Yisomim collected because of an outstanding loan of their father, then you can. So again, let's say the Reuven dies. Any property Yisomim have, a Baal Chov cannot collect from Yisomim. But a new property that they collect after the fact, based on someone else paying back their loan, you can collect from them. So in this case, Shimon is the one who gives a property to Yisomim, but then he takes it back because he's a Baal Chov also from the father, because the father has a chayus. Whenever he loses the money, he could take back and forth. That's what the Gemara says. I told you, very tricky. Hopefully you got something of that. Now, what does that have to do with the Lavafreya and the Malkan Labah? So Gemara says, this only makes sense. Meaning, how could you collect a property? Let's say Yisomim buy a new property now. After the father dies, they buy a new property. They have no right, the Baal Chov has no right to collect any new properties from the Yisomim. They could only collect property that they had already had in the past. So the Gemara said that it only makes sense that Shimon gave a new property now to Yisomim, that Shimon's taking back. It only makes sense, E Amris Bishlama, Limafreya Hugova, only if that property is viewed as retroactively being collected by their father Reuven, Amtulahachi Chose Vigova Osamehen, the command the Gavu Mechaim Davun Dami. Now Shimon could collect it back because it's as if the father collected when the father was alive. In other words, when initially Reuven lent $1 million to Shimon with a lien that if you don't pay it back, I'm taking the property back, only if it's viewed as if he collected it right now, the Mafreya from the beginning, does that viewed as if their father collected it. And now Shimon could collect it based on the father having owned it prior to him dying. But El, if you assume any time a bank collects property, it's only Mikan Laba, from this point on, El of the Gemara says, Iyamers Mikan Laba Hukove, he only collects from Mikan Laba, Amai Choser Vigova Osamahen. How could Shimon now collect this new property that's in the property in the possession of Yisomim? Hare Have Kaman Dezavin Yasmin Nichse Dami. It's as if Yisomim bought new property. Vilukani Yasmin Nichse. Had Yisomim bought new property, Mikom Shabi Labal Chov? Is that now under the lien of a Baal Chov? Certainly not. Not any new property, only old property. So it must be Rava assumes that any time there's a lien, that lien is viewed as Lemafreya being owned, and in this case was owned by the father when the father was alive, and that's the only reason why Shimon could collect it. But had it been in Mikan Laba from the point of the time of collection, that has no he has no ability to collect new properties owned and bought by Yisomim. So that's how we see Rava holds it's a din of Mikan Laba, rather than Lemafreya, against Mikan Laba. So Gemara says no. This case, shiny hasam, over there is different. Really, it's possible that whenever a bank collects a property based on a lien, it's only Mikan Laba, Mat Mafreya. But there's a special din when it comes to liens. Liens are different. Why are liens different? So Gemara says, shiny hasam, damar lehu, kiecha demishtabna le lavuchan, mishtabna nami labal chov. It's a klal, the labal chov davuchim. Let's say there's a Reuven Shimon Levi case. Now, Reuven owes Shimon Levi money, and Shimon owns Levi money. So now, Reuven pays Shimon, Shimon pays Levi. Now, really, Reuven could pay Levi directly and just circumvent Shimon. It's the same thing. Just money's very fungible. Just skip a step, and Reuven will pay Levi directly. So, to any lien that Shimon has on Reuven, Levi also has on Shimon. So, in other words, Levi also has on Reuven a lien. It all goes just, it's an equation here. So the Gemara says, based on this concept, that anybody, again, kecha de mishabde le avuchan, mishabde nami le baal chov de avuchan. Just like there's a lien that Shimon has, Reuven has a lien on Shimon's property, that lien also goes to anyone who Reuven owes money to. That Reuven also owes money to Shimon, because it's backwards. So Shimon's property is a lien to Reuven, and now that lien of Reuven is also owned by Shimon, because Shimon bought the property with achrayos. So that lien just goes back to Shimon initially. So that's what the Gemara says, midi Rabbi Nassan, the Tanya, Rabbi Nassan Omer, minay lenoshe bechaveyo mana. How do you know if someone is owed money by his friend? Bechaveyo bechaveyo, shemotin mizev noshen lezeh. You could jump from Reuven to Levi and skip Shimon. Tamalomar v'nasan la'ashe ha'shamlo. You could pay to the one who he owes money to, which refers to Reuven and Levi directly circumventing Shimon. So to a lien could skip a step from Reuven to Levi, in this case, from Shimon back to Shimon, because he's both party number one and party number three. I told you, very complicated. Either way, we can ignore this piece to go vayit in the Gemara, What comes out from all this, however, is the fact that Shimon could collect back to himself has nothing to do with when one owns the property of the Mafreya or Mikan Laba. It's just about a lien that goes from numbers 1 and numbers 3 in the these transactions. Okay, so let's ignore that piece. I recommend you want to understand it well. Read it back inside slowly with the Rashis. It's very involved, but that's that piece. So now the Gemara wants to know, back to this discussion of Mikan Laba Mafreya, the rest of the daf is pretty easy. The Gemara says, Tanan, we just saw in the Mishnah on the end of Lamed Abed Beis, Nachri Shehilva is Yisrael al Chemso. And Nachri lends money to Yisrael. And the Chametz of the Yisrael is going to be used as the lien, as the mashkon, as the security. Acher HaPesach Motibana. That's Motibana. So now, E Amris Bishma Lumafrey who go over. By the way, the Havamina here Rashi points out is that that Chametz is viewed as a situation. Look at Rashi. Go 6 lines up in Rashi. Tanan Nachri Shehilva, Kataka Daita Chashta Bishlo Masrlo. It's not a case where the Yisrael gave the chametz to the Nachri, the case, El Shiabdulo, it was a lien, Kishar Loven, like other loans, Shimlo Eten Lecha Ad Yom Ploni, if I don't pay back by a certain date, Balabesi V'gava Mechametze, you could collect it. So the chametz remains in the property of the Yisrael. Okay, so I borrow $1,000 from the Nachri, and if I don't pay you back, take my chametz. The chametz remains in my property right now, as the Yisrael. Now the Gemara says, after Pesach, that's Mutabana. How can you put Mutabana? It's in my house. So Gemara says it only makes sense. Yamris bishma lemafreyahu gove amti lahachi mutter. But no, if we view that any time the bank has a lien, it's as if he always owned it from the beginning. The shasava lemafreya. So that's why it's mutter, because it was viewed as owned by the Nachri already from shasava. If I again borrowed $1,000 in Alf Nisan and my chametz is my lien, so now it's viewed as if he owns it now from Alf Nisan, even though I never defaulted on the loan just yet, and then it was always the Nachri, and that's why it's mutter bana. But El Iyamas Mikan Labahu Gova. If you view it only as when the bank actually collects my chametz, from that point on, does he own it, but he doesn't own it, Lemafreya, then it was always mine, and therefore it should be Asrbana. El Iyamas Mikan Labahu Gova, am I Mutabana? Bishusay the Yisrael Havakai. It was always in my possession because we only view it as being in the bank's possession, in the Nachri's possession, when I defaulted on the payment. So it must be, it's all Lemafreya. And the Gemara says, no, this is not a case at all of a lien, where the chametz is a lien, he could collect it if I default on my payment. Hacha b'maya skinan, kishir herhinu etzlo. When I actually gave the chametz to the Nachri as a mashkum. Not a case where he's collecting on it if I don't pay. So my mamish gave it over to the Nachri. It's yours, stay in your possession, it's going to be a mashkum for you. And then that's a real hakna, a real kinyan, and that's why it's motibana afterward, because the Nachri owned it now, because I actually mamish gave it over to him. But that's the case, but this has no bearing on the discussion of Mikan Laba Ul Mafreya. So Gemara now says, Leima Kitanai, let's say that this whole discussion is really a machlokas tanai. Yisrael Shehilva Lenachri Al Chemto, Yisrael that lends money to a Nachri, and the Nachri now sets his chametz aside as a lien, as a security, Lacha Pesach, after Pesach, Eino over, there's no violation of the chametz. Mishum Rabbi Meir Omer, they say in the name of Rabbi Meir, over, there's a violation. So what's the difference? My love, the machlokes is as follows. When you set aside a security, so do you view that as being collected l'mafreya? In which case, when the Yisrael lends the money to the Nachri, and the chametz is in the possession of the Yisrael, l'mafreya was always the Yisrael's, and therefore this should be an aveira, asabana, or no, we only view mekan laba, and therefore it was still owned by the Nachri the whole time, and therefore it should be mutter, bana. So Gemara says, if that's really the machlokas here, whether one's over or not over, again, this is a case where the Yisrael lends to the Nachri, and the Nachri's chametz has a security, has a lien on it. If that's the machlokas, whether mekan laba or mafreya, v'tisbur, does that really make sense? Look at the seifa. Eima seifa, it says, aval Nachri, shehilva li Yisrael al chemso. If it's the opposite case, where the Nachri lends money to Yisrael, and the chametz of the Yisrael is the lien's on the chametz of the Yisrael, lachar Pesach, Divriya kol over. After Pesach, everyone agrees it is a violation and there should be Isra or not. But that shouldn't be the case. The Gemara says, shouldn't be whatever the first case was, it should be the opposite. In other words, L'man damer hasam ain't over, hach over. The one who holds by the first case of the Yisrael lending money to the Nachri, that you view the security as it should be violating the Avera, because we view it as in this possession of the Yisrael to L'mafreya. So in this case, it should be ain't over. It should be the opposite. Again, the man damer hasam ain't over, hacha over. The man damer hasim over, hacha ain't over. Whatever was the case by the Nachri lending the Yisrael should be the complete flip side of the Yisrael lending the Nachri. So if you hold the Mafrei in both cases, it should be one case should be Avera, one case should be not. If you hold Mikan Laba, one case should be an Avera, one case should be not. So it doesn't sound like it's really Machlokas tonight about this case of Mikan Laba and Mafrei. So what is Machlokas? Gemara says a completely different discussion here. Elahacha, top of Laman Aleph and Mabez, this discussion, whether one's over or not, when using the chametz as a mashkum, has nothing to do with, again, how one collects mikan laba or the mafaya, has to do with the following. B'maya skinan, kigon shehihinu etzlo, it's a case where he gave the chametz over to the Nachri, or he gave it over to the Yisrael, u'kemiflagi b'direbi Yitzchak. Who's Rebbe Yitzchak? They're arguing about this sheet of Rebbe Yitzchak. Damar Rebbe Yitzchak, minayin lebal chov, shekona mashkun, how do you know when a bank acquires a security? This is where, again, there are two ways. A lien is when you don't give any money over, but you said there's a lien. If you need to, you could collect from it. A mashkan is where you actually give something over. You give metalton over. So when you give a mashkan over, a security over, so how do we know? Rabbi Yitzchak says the bank owns it. They acquire that mashkan, even though you may have to return the mashkan if he pays the payment, but for the time being, the bank owns the mashkan. How do you know? Shenemar says, v'lecha tia tzedakah, you shab tzedakah. Now the context of this pasuk is when a person takes a security from a woman, an amana, she borrows money, so you lend $1,000 to the amana, you take some property as a mashkom, you should return it to her. If it's taking, like, let's say, her night clothing, her pajamas, every night you need to return it to her. And if it's clothing she wears during the day, you need to return the money each morning to her. So she has to have what to wear, have what to do. So that's a tzedakah, to give it back to her. So the Gemara says, l'chatiyev tzedakah, im eino kone mashkon tzedakah minalin. If I, as a bank, don't acquire it, so if I don't acquire it, when I'm giving it back, that's not tzedakah, that's hers. It only makes sense to call tzedakah if I'm giving my own property. So it must be that every mashkan I acquire, I own it, and then when I return it back, it's a chesed, it's a tzedakah that I'm doing, I'm giving hers. That's what that proves that I'm kone. Look at Rashi just to make that clear. Rashi writes two lines down here. Kone mashkan, kol yimei hava ha-mashkan mashkan kone lo. The entire time of the borrowing, I own it as the bank. Vim nenes, if something happens to the mashkon, chayv onsim, amamish chayv onis. Shenu alav lo kishom rechinim lo kishom esacha shepturim beonsim, ela kula b'shusei u'bishmirasa omeid. It's all my possession, I've got full responsibility here. I'm not just watching it, I'm actually owning and using it, just like a shoel. If a shoel, I'm using the property, there's a shoel has a real kin in there, I'm borrowing it for a month, I'm leasing it for a month, not leasing it, but I'm borrowing it for a month, I have a full ownership, it's a temporary ownership, but it's an ownership, and I'm chayv anything happens to it. Here as well, I'm a mashkon, I'm an owner of it, and I'm responsible for anything that happens to it. Ulechot yet stuck, it says Rashi, v'ashavas ha'ava, when I return the security back to her, k'siv, e amis kone mashkon, if you say that I actually own and acquire the mashkon, ikiz tzedakah, v'ashchiva sheshacha b'shtem lasa, when I return it back to her, that's a real tzedakah. Shehisha lo zeh davar ha'karnila, I'm lending her that which I own. V'meino kone, but if I don't own the property of the mashkon, tzedakah b'hashava zumanai. That's not called tzedakah. I'm giving back al shelo shachav. I'm giving back her object. And therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak proves that one owns a mashkon. So that's the machlokas here, the Gemara explains. So back inside now. So mikan, we learn, lebal chov shekona mashkon, a bank, acquires and owns the security. So tana kama savar, hanimila Yisrael miyisrael, huda krina bay l'chal tiyat tzedakah. That's only if both the malva and the lova are Yisraelim, so then we view it as being kone acquiring from the Yisrael the mashkon, and then the tzedakah they return it back each day. Aval Yisrael mi nachri. But when Yisrael lends money to a nachri, and the nachri gives a mashkon to the Yisrael, the bank, lo kani, that would not actually be an acquisition. And since it's not an acquisition by the Yisrael, it remains under the ownership, under the title of a nachri, and there would not be an Isra after Pesach. Rei Meir Savar Kavachomer, he felt it was a Kavachomer. If Yisrael mi Yisrael kani, if Yisrael could acquire a mashkon from Yisrael, so then certainly Yisrael mi nachri lo kol shekein. Certainly Yisrael should be able to acquire a mashkon from a nachri. So the debate here whether or not this concept of Rabbi Yitzchak applies also when Yisrael acquires a mashkon from a nachri. So if you do hold that the kinyan does take place when Yisrael lends to a nachri and the nachri gives a mashkon to Yisrael, there's a kinyan. So that means the Yisrael owns a mashkon of chametz during Pesach. It would be over the iser, but according to the Tanna Kamma, one does not acquire the mashkon from a nachri, and therefore, even though it's in the possession of Yisrael, it's under the ownership of a nachri, and that would not be subject to the Aveira. So that's true when it comes to Yisrael lending to a nachri. However, which was the sefer above, about nachri shehilva is Yisrael. When a nachri lends money to Yisrael, And Yisrael gives Al-Chemsa, Yisrael gives his chametz as a mashgon, achar Pesach, diber kol over. That certainly would be aser, because hasam vade nachri b'Yisrael lo kani. There, the din of a nachri, buying and owning the mashgon of Yisrael, that certainly doesn't apply.
That's the seifa
in this case. Meaning, Rabbi Yitzchak's din only applies when Yisrael is the borrower and he gets the mashgon. But when the nachri is the one getting the mashgon, everybody agrees there is no kinyan at all to speak of. And that's why Chuli Alma say that when the chametz goes into possession of the nachri, it's still owned by the Yisrael and would be subject to the Isser Aveira and Aser Vana after the fact. Okay. So now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah on the bottom of Laman Amar Beis. Tanan nachri shehilva es Yisrael al chemsa. A nachri lends money to a Yisrael on the chametz of the Yisrael, meaning the chametz is being viewed and used as the mashkam, acher pesach motabana. So it's motabana after the fact. So the Gemara says, ni nami deharhinu etzlo. So granted, if it's a case where the Yisrael gave the chametz to the nachri as a mashkam, ha amis nachri Yisrael lo kani, we just said above, that a nachri does not acquire mashkam of Yisrael. So how could that be the case? How could the Mishnah say, when the Yisrael gives a mashkam of chametz to the nachri, it's not, it's motabana. We just said, but there's no kinyan by the nachri. It's still owned by the Yisrael, even though it's in the possession of a nachri. So Gemara says the following din. Lo kasha. Ha de amris le ma'achsheva, ha de lo amr le ma'achshev. There's a difference. If you just give the mashkon over to the nachri won't be konin. But if you say, when you give the mashkon to the nachri, you're going to be konin me'achshev, the word me'achshev, that will actually create a kinyan even for the nachri on the chametz. So our mission that says, when the Yisrael gives the chametz as a mashkon to the nachri, it's mutter ba'naf the Pesach, that's where you said, me'achshav. You're going to own it right now. That's a real kinyan, even when a nachri is the one acquiring the mashkum. If you don't say anything, you just give the mashkum to the nachri, then, as the din is, it would not create an acquisition. It would still be owned by Yisrael and would be aser bana afterwards. And how do we find, the Gemara asks, u'minat temra, where do we see a distinction? Deshani lei bein heichad amar me'achshav, bein heichad delo amar me'achshav, whether or not you used the word me'achshav to create the kinyan now. And if you didn't use the word achshav, it would not create the kinyan now. Where do you see such a chiluk? The Sanya, the Braisa says, Nachri, Shehirin Pasporni. Pasporni, Rashi says, Rashi just interesting points out, that it's a large piece of bread that they made in large ovens, like the ovens that we have nowadays. Back then, they had very small ovens that were very portable, and they would only make small pieces of bread. There's a large piece of bread. The reason why the Gemara uses this is because the mashkon is usually something that's very significant. So your big piece of bread is used as a small little roll wouldn't be used as a mashkon, but a large challah bread, challah would be. So they gave a big piece of bread, a big loaf of bread, like we have in our big oven. They gave it over to the nachri, the Gemara says. The Tanya nachri shahir in pas porni etzel Yisrael. So the nachri gave a large piece of bread, a large loaf of bread to a yid. Ain't over. That's not going to be over the iser here. Vim Amarlo, he got ticha, if he says he got ticha, which means it's going to be yours, me'achshav, he got ticha as a form of me'achshav, over, he would be subject to the Aveira. So what's the difference? Maisha Reisha, Maisha Seifa, what's the difference whether the first case we're not over, the second case you are over? Although the difference is, Elalav Shmamina, Heichad Amarle me'achshav, Heichad Elo Amarle me'achshav, Shmamina, when you use the word achshav, it will create a kinin, and when you don't use the word me'achshav, it will not create a kinin right away, and that's the important distinction. Gemara now says, Tanir Rabban, the Braisa teaches us, Chanas shall Yisrael, Umale shall Yisrael. If you have a store owned by a Yid, and Male Yisrael means all the different produce, all the different items being sold are also owned by a Jew. And the workers, however, the Poale Nachrim Nichnasam Lasham, and you have non-Jewish workers going in and out of the store. Chamit Shinim Shasham, what do you view, assume about the Chamit? Any Chamit that's there, do you say it came from the workers and they're owned by Nachri and Mutabana? Or do you say it comes from the store owners and from perhaps the produce that's there, and it should be Asirbana? So Gemara says, Asirbana, we assume it goes based on the Chanesh Yisrael and the Malish Yisrael. Vein Tarach Lomar Bachila, and certainly if it's Asirbana, it's certainly Asir to even eat. And if you have the opposite circumstance, where it's a Chanesh Shal Nachri, it's a store owned by a Goy, who Malish Shal Nachri, and all the produce is owned by a Goy, who Pali Yisrael, but the workers are Yidin, Nichnasin, Vyotzin, Lasham, they're coming in and out of the store. Chamet, Shinim, Shasham, Achar, Pesach, Moter, Bachila, Vein, Tarach, Lomar, Bahana. Yisuma goes based on the owners, and the Chamet is owned by Nachri, therefore Moter, Bahanacha, and Moter, Bahana, rather, and needless to say, it's also Moter to eat as well. Fine. So now the new Mishnah tells us as follows. Chamet, actually, one interesting tosis here. Why not? Let's do an interesting tosis. Look at Dimar Maskel, but the Rabbi Yitzchak Kemiflagi. So the Gemara, Tosa asks the following question. He says, this din of Rabbi Yitzchak, of owning the mashkum, tema. The din of, there's two times a security could come into play. A mashkon can either be given b'shas hava, let's say you go to the bowling alley. So when you give your shoe as a mashkon, you take their bowling shoes. That's b'shas hava. Sometimes the mashkon could be down the line. We had a loan January 1st, and then the banks are getting nervous, so they said July 1st, you know what, I want to take a mashkon. So you make an agreement, here's a mashkon, don't worry, I'll pay you back, and that security comes later on the shelo b'shas hava, not during the time of lending the money. So the Gemara says that the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, where your kone of property is only shelo b'shas hava, when it's a mashkon that comes after the loan already took effect. But when it's shas hava, we don't view the mashkon as an acquisition. So problem is, here, hacha is clearly a case of Yisrael, says Tosos, b'shehilva l'nachri al-chemso t'nan d'mashva b'shas hava. It sounds like Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah is the mashkon is taking effect b'shas hava, when he gave the loan, that's when the mashkon is being given. But Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't say his din by shas hava. The din of being koneh the mashkon is only dafka when it's shalom b'shas hava. So this doesn't fit into the Gemara here. So if you look further down in Tosos, he writes, v'yei shlomar, d'hachet perusha. The way we understand the case here by Pesach is as follows. Kevin de shalom b'shas hava, koneh legamri, k'dub Yitzchak, since when the mashkon is given, when it's not the time of the hava, it's given some later point afterwards, only then is there kinim. Im kain linen chametz, we could say it's the same din. Yesh lanu lechoshro ki ilu hu shalo lavor v'lo yimatze apashas hava techashvin alei. In other words, granted, the case of chametz is where the mashkon was given b'shas hava, and normally that won't be a kinim on a mashkon. But by chametz is a special din when giving chametz to the mashkon, there the kinim will take effect even b'shas hava. Because a certain chubra of loy matzei, it will be even effective b'shas hava. That's a special, unique din when it comes to chametz, that even b'shas hava, because of the chumra of owning chametz, that will actually have a kinyan according to Rabbi Yitzchak. That's the chiddush of Tosas. Okay, let's go back inside the finish the Mishnah in the Gemara. The Mishnah says, we saw this Mishnah quoted actually early in the Masechta. The Mishnah says, chametz shenafla alav mapolas harehu kimavur. Let's say a person has chametz and a house crumbles, a house falls apart. So the din is, that's like it's burnt, because no one could get it. The chashash of chametz is a person might eat the chametz. But if you can't get to the chametz, so it's no different than being burnt and flushed on the toilet or thrown in the water. You can't access it. So it's kimavur, and there's no need for bedika. There's no need for a beer. That's the din of the Mishnah. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, kol she'ena kelev yuchon l'chapis achrav. What's the din? How crumbled does it have to be? If the dog can't sniff it out, that tells you that's too far away. If a dog can't get it, certainly a human can't get it, and that's enough of a distance where there's no need for a bedika. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, v'tzarach she'vatel v'libo. Even though you can't do bedika, and you don't need to do bedika, and there's no need for beer, there should still be a bittel. You should still be mevatel l'chametz. Anyways, that's below all the rubble. Why? Rashi points out here, first wide line down, tzarach she'vatel v'libo, sheme yifakeach hagal b'moed v'nimsa over alav. Maybe chal moed, someone's going to try to take apart, move all the rubble around, and clean everything up, and you might see this nice loaf of bread, and you might eat it, therefore do a bittel, and therefore the bittel takes effect from any concern. So Gemara then says, Tana kama chafisas kelev. So how deep does a dog dig? What's the shear of it? So Gemara says, shlosh tvachim, three tvachim. Right? In theory, you could take a dog and have a dog sniff it out. If the dog doesn't sniff anything, fine. Gemara wants to know a real shear, an absolute shear. So what's the absolute shear? Three tvachim, that's the distance of the dog could smell something that's beneath the ground. So that's the din. So the Gemara says, Amar lei Rav Acha Barei de Yosef, le Rav Ashi, Hadam Shmuel, that what Shmuel says, Ksafim ain lem shmir el bakarka. Person wants to hide his money. Where should he hide his money? Not underneath the bed. It's not a great place to hide it, but below the ground. Dig up the ground and go dig it deep underneath the dirt, and no one's going to find it if it's beneath the ground. That's the safest place. Not to put it in a bank, not to put it in a mattress. Put it in the ground. That's the safest place. Some good eitzah, where to hide your money. So Gemara says, again, Ksafim ain lem shmir el bakarka. So in that case of hiding the dirt, this eitzah, where to hide the money in the dirt, mi ba'inan shlosha tvachim alo. Do you need to also bury it three tvachim deep? Or no, it's enough to just cover up an inch or two. Amar lei, hacha mishum reicha b'inan shlosha tvachim. The reason why by the burying of the chametz you need three tvachim is because otherwise the dog could sniff it out. But hasam over there, mishum ichsuya me'inahu v'lo b'ayi shlosha. But when it comes to the hiding the money, you can't sniff out money. There's no smell to money. All you need to do is cover it up. So it's enough to just cover up a little bit, but you certainly don't need three tvachim. So kama, so if you don't need three tvachim, how much does one need? So Gemara says, Amarafram bar papa, misichra, tefach, it's enough to hide it at tefach. So So when it comes to chametz, you need to bury three tefachim, so at least three tefachim deep, so a dog can't sniff it out. When it comes to burying money, one tefach. Rav Moshe was asked an interesting question: how deep does one have to bury a mace? What about a mace? How far down? So we do 6 feet under, let's say. But what's the real shir mikra din? How far down does one have to bury a mace? So we prove from this Gemara here that it has to be at least three tefachim, because if a dog could sniff out a chametz, certainly it could sniff out a mace, which smells even more, and therefore at least three tefachim is necessary. He can't prove any more than that because we have no other shear in the Gemara, because it's possible maybe other, you know, when it comes to a dog smelling three tefachim of a chametz, maybe he could smell a dead body, maybe a six tefachim, maybe ten tefachim. Perhaps we're not only concerned with dogs, we're concerned with other wild animals out there who might try to dig up a kever. So he can't prove that you need more than three tefachim, but he says at least three tefachim is what's necessary for burying a mace. Okay, we'll stop here. I'll just do a quick review, sorry. The review is, we started off with machlokas when it comes to a bank collecting on a lien. We view that as collecting from Mikan Laba or the Mafreya. We have a very complicated case of Shmuel and Reuven selling property to the Chayos, you know, borrowing the money back and forth, trying to prove that as a raya, which had nothing to do with really collecting. It has to do with a shibud that carries from Reuven Shimon to Levi. Reuven could pay Levi directly and circumvent Shimon. Then we had a machlokas about Rabbi Yitzchak about the mashkon, the mashkon's kona, and you give it back to the borrower every single morning, l'chati etztaka, and we said that's a Yisrael to Yisrael. There was a debate whether it applied from Yisrael to Nachri, but everybody agreed a Nachri to Yisrael certainly won't be kona the mashkon. And then we had a distinction between a mashkon that's b'shas with accompanied with the words me'achshava versus not with me'achshava, and then the debate of the store owned by the Jews and the workers non-Jews, or the store owned by the non-Jews and the workers Jews, whose chametz we attributed to. Then finally the mishnah we had about the chametz that falls underneath a rubble, that if you can't sniff it out by a dog, it doesn't require any bedika, but nonetheless you need a bittel. How far deep is that? That's three tefachim. When it comes to hiding money in the karka, that all you really need is one tefach.